Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Over the last couple of Searchlight programs, we have been looking at the story of David and Goliath. This true story, found in 1 Samuel 17, has been an inspiration to people for years as we consider how to overcome the giants in our life. But Pastor John is giving us another perspective on this story. This story is also a picture of Jesus. That is, David in the story illustrates the Son of David, Jesus Christ. As we ended our last program, Pastor John had just begun to show us several parallels between David and Jesus. The first parallel is that they were both sanctified by the Spirit. Let's now join Pastor John as he continues to explain this point.
Now, oil is a symbol of what in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. But I want you to note, a horn of oil was poured on David's head. When Saul, the king who was presently serving, was anointed by Samuel, it was a vial of oil, a little bottle. David got a horn of oil, a great big flask, you see. Why? Because it's Jesus. Jesus is the anointed one. That's what the word Christ means, anointed one. And Hebrews 1, if you're taking notes, jot this down. Hebrews 1 says that he, Jesus, was anointed with the oil of gladness. The Spirit of God, the anointing of gladness, more than any of his fellows, more than any other, more than anyone else, Jesus was anointed. Oh, we've all been anointed, but not like Jesus. And David was anointed in a way that was greater than Saul in these days. Sanctified by the Spirit oil, David was anointed more than any other, even as was Jesus. Then, secondly, David and Jesus both sent by their fathers. We read in verse 17, Jesse, David's dad, said, "Take now this bread. Take now this bread to your brothers. And check out and see how they're doing, David." Jesus was sent by the Father. Jesus was sent to us. Not bringing us bread physically, he declared, "I am the bread sent from heaven. It's me. Take, eat of my body." David was watching his father's flock when he was sent. Jesus is the shepherd, the good shepherd, who would give his life for the sheep. Sanctified by the Spirit was David and Jesus. Sent by the Father to help out the brothers who are going to go down in defeat. You see, in David's day, and it's true for you and me, Jesus came, the good shepherd, to care for us, whom he says, "I'm not ashamed to call you brothers." He makes his way here. Number three, we see David sought a treasure. Verse 25. Here's the treasure that the guy who takes Goliath down is going to get. Number one, he will be enriched with great riches. Number two, he will give him his daughter. Number three, he will set his family free. Jesus, sanctified by the Spirit, anointed above all others, sent by the Father to check on us, his brothers. Number three, sought a prize, sought a treasure. David, riches. Saul's daughter to be your bride, and your family will be free. Us, Jesus came. Riches. Ephesians chapter 1 says, we, you and me, are his inheritance. That cracks me up. We're his riches. Now, I think we're a booby prize, but he looks at us through different eyes. We are his riches, and we are his bride, the bride of Christ, you see, and we have been set free. We are his inheritance. We are his bride. He set us free. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We've been free. Our whole house, our families too, we've been blessed. I'm a bride. So are you. When I first started teaching about the bride of Christ, it kind of bothered me. I couldn't get in touch with my feminine side. But since then, in these days, I'll tell you something. The older I get, the more I say, I'm looking forward to that day when I will be truly, physically sitting at his side, the Son of David, as his bride. A bride. See, as a husband, provider, head of the family, you know, worker, all that stuff. You know, hey, it's going to be a great day in that day when I'm a bride. And just say, need something? Have questions? Ask him. He's right there. I'm the bride. He's the groom. Ask him, you see. What a great day and a grand time that's going to be. But be that as it may, we are his bride. We are his treasure. We have been and are being set free. That's what David sought. A bride. An inheritance. And to see the house of his family set free. Number four. Not only sanctified by the Spirit, sent by the Father, seeking a treasure. But number four, to continue the alliteration of S's. He was scorned by his brothers. Verse 28. "Why did you come down here?" his brothers said. What about Jesus? He too was scorned by his brothers. His half-brothers, the sons of Joseph and Mary, they didn't believe in him. They made fun of him. His countrymen, "We will not have this man rule over us. Away with him," they said. The world, John chapter 1 verse 11 says, he came unto his own humanity, but his own what? Received him not. Scorned. Mocked even to this day. It's true. David was scorned by his brothers. So would Jesus be in the same kind of way. Number five. But here we see David and Jesus both strengthened by experience. Verse 37. "The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear." Listen to me. Jesus was also strengthened by experience. The lion sought to devour him. 40 days he was tempted in the wilderness. And that was only the beginning, actually. But he overcame the enemy. "It is written, it is written, it is written," he would say. And the enemy had to flee from him. The lion that wanted to devour and consume Satan had to flee away that day when Jesus spoke the word and submitted to that word, you see. He was in all points tempted like we are, the Bible says, yet without sin. And he was strengthened by that experience to do what? Ultimately for the battle against Goliath, not in the valley of Elah, but the mountain called Calvary, where he would be crucified on the cross. In so doing, defeat the enemy completely. Today's stresses are for tomorrow's successes. Never forget that. I know you feel like it's unbearable. I know you feel like you're being attacked. I know it's tough. It was for David too, the shepherd boy, when that bear came his way and that lion was on the prowl. But those were simply preparing David to be what he ultimately would do in winning the victory over Goliath. For Jesus too. In the wilderness, the temptations were simply preparations. Today's stresses are for tomorrow's successes. And David said, "I'm strengthened by experience," as was Jesus ultimately. Number six, quickly, verse 39, continuing the S's, he was stripped of armor. "I'm not going to wear this coat of mail," David would say, "this helmet of brass, or take your big battle sword." He laid aside the armor, the weaponry of the king. Philippians chapter 2 says that's what Jesus did. Philippians chapter 2 said he laid aside the abilities, the weaponry that were his innately. Philippians 2 says, Jesus Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be made equal with God. That is, he wasn't ripping God off by saying, I am God. But, Philippians 2 says, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. Literally, he emptied himself. He laid aside, he laid away his godly powers and abilities that day when he became like you and became like me. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself instead the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What did Jesus do? Put aside all his powers and abilities to become just like me, just like you. Well, what about those miracles he did? Walking on water, healing the leper, raising the dead. How'd that happen? By prayer and faith and the power of the Spirit, available to you and available to me in the same way. Amazing. It wasn't because he was Jesus that he did those things. He was just like you, just like me, but without sin. But he prayed to the Father. He believed in the Father. He was empowered by the Spirit in a way that you and I could be and can be too. He laid aside all of his armor, you see. Just like David here laid aside the king's armor, put it aside. He was stripped of the armor, even as would be Jesus, of his powers, you see. Number 7, quickly, David was strong in faith. Verse 46, David said out loud. David said verbally. David said in the ears of all his countrymen as well as in the ears of the enemy, this day will the Lord deliver you, Goliath, verse 46, into my hand. I will smite you and take your head from you. Faith. Strong in faith. Faith. Faith is in the heart, released through the mouth by the words and things we say. It's true. You're saved by your faith. You're believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And so too, in the arena of faith, however it now applies to me and you, it must be in the heart and spoken through the mouth, you see? And David did just that in this amazing story. You are going down, and your head is coming off, he said. It's one thing to believe in your heart silently. It's something else to make a statement publicly. David did that. God honors such. Jesus all the more. Jesus said, destroy this temple in John chapter 2, referring to his body, and in 3 days I will rise again. I'll rebuild it in 3 days. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, so will the Son of Man be in the center of the earth 3 days, but I will rise again. That's quite a statement to make. Jesus was strong in faith. So here we see both of them, strong in faith, proclaiming against incredible odds the victory that they knew would come their way. Number 8, I like this, verse 51. Snatched the enemy's weapons and used it against him. David takes Saul's sword, lops off his head with that sword, just like Jesus. The ultimate weapon of Satan. Crucify him, he inspired the crowd to cry. Nailed to a tree was Jesus, to the cross of Calvary. And the demons and Satan were laughing and roaring with glee and delight. We got him. He's finished. He's dead. Nailed to the cross. We've beat this Jesus, their champion. But what happened was, the very instrument of the enemy, the cross, was the means for his victory. Because Jesus rose again. And what he did on that cross, with the shedding of his blood and the ripping of his body, paid the price for you and me to be allowed to enter into the kingdom. And Satan, what a shocker it must have been at the point in the day that he realized, oh no, This backfired. The weapon I used against him has now been turned on me, this cross, the cross of Calvary. Satan's weapons always backfire. I like that. And here David uses Goliath's own big old sword to lop off Goliath's head, just like Jesus used the cross to do in the enemy, Satan, you see. Lastly, number 9, finally, singularly, both David and Jesus singularly secured the victory. One man won for the rest of the army, David. Jesus won the battle for all eternity. It's not what we do. It's what he's done. It's not who we are. It's the one who has come and entered into the valley for you and for me, who took on the enemy. And now, just like these guys, the Israelites, picked up the spoils, took the goods, that's true for you. It's not a matter of trying to fight for victory. It's fighting from victory. It's simply saying, got it. I can take the goods. I can expect my life to be blessed, my kids to do well. I can expect God's blessing upon me, my prayers to be answered. Why? Because of what Jesus has done, you see. My job is just to go get the goods. The battle has been won. Just like the Israelites spoiled the tents of the Philistines because of what David had done. Now, in this, I'm almost through. Thank you for your attention, but listen carefully. Tune back in if you faded away for a moment or two. All of these things that you can meditate on and think through, and I hope some of you will, the parallels, and we're only scratching the surface. There's much more to look at in the story. But it's all a picture of Jesus, you see. It's all about him who singularly secured the victory. We are now enriched because of what he did, not what we do, but what he's done for me, what he's done for you. In light of that, in light of chapter 17, a picture, a story of Jesus being our victory, what does this mean? Just a couple more verses. Look at verse 1, just 3 more verses of chapter 18. When David was reporting to Saul, verse 58 of chapter 17, "Who are you?" he says, "I'm the son of Jesse." It came to pass, verse 1, chapter 18, when he had made an end of speaking to Saul, telling Saul who he was, listen, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Lord, what should I do? If this is true, and it is, all this stuff that you've done for me, what should I do? My name is Jonathan. This is for me. It's for you too. He's the son of David, Jesus. The greater than David, Jesus. What is this Jonathan? What are we Jonathans to do? Who was Jonathan? He was the son of Saul. He was next in line to be the king. He was the next in line to ascend to the throne. He was the crowned prince. But he sees what David has done. And he listens to what David has to say. And he looks at David on this incredible victorious day. And he listens. And he loves him. And he does something amazing. Verse 3. Jonathan and David made a covenant. A new covenant, if you would. Because Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself. He watched David beat the stripped one, the one who strips Goliath. And now Jonathan, the crowned prince, looks at this unlikely hero, this shepherd boy from Bethlehem. And Jonathan strips himself of the robe that Jonathan was wearing, and he gave it to David. And his garments, even the sword and the bow, his weapons, his defense, and his girdle, his belt upon which his weapons would hang. He said, David, you the man. You the man. He didn't say, uh-oh. See, Jonathan, as we have seen previously, was a great guy, was a hero in his own right. He could have looked at David that day and said, competition. I've been honored of recent, Jonathan could say. The people are talking about me. They're comfortable with me. They have trust in me. I'm next in line. I'm to be the king when my dad dies. It's already been told to him that his days are numbered, and I'm next in line. But Jonathan, incredible, said, uh-uh. I'm giving up my power, my prestige, my plans, my program, my passion, I'm giving it all up. David, what you did out there when you took on the stripper, Goliath, and the victory that you won for us all, the victory you secured for me and this nation, I have no other choice but to give you my robe and my heart and my weaponry and my position and my everything. David, take it all. And Jonathan's heart was knitted with David that day. This day, you might have your program, your plans, your passion. I'm going to do this and I deserve that and I'm going to accomplish the other. And the Lord would say to you today, let it go. Let me be your king. Because I not only have given you eternal life and paid the price for your sin and dealt a death blow to Goliath who wanted to pull you into eternal damnation, but I will continue if you allow me to be your victory. And here's what you get to do if you want to, Jonathan. Jonathan Corson, give me your robe, that crown, that armor, that stuff. Lay it all down. Let it all go. And have your soul knit with mine. And what you'll find is freedom and fulfillment in a whole different way. Don't argue with me, the son of David would say. Don't compete against me, but let your soul be knit to me, and you'll have victory every day in amazing ways. Jesus says, come. I want my soul knit with yours. How? Eat of my body. Let me in. Drink of my blood. You're forgiven of your sin. Give your heart to me once more. Let me have complete control of who you are. Consider what I've already done. The victory is won. Now follow me. I guarantee, as you do, he's going to bless us in greater ways than we imagined. Here's our opportunity.
This is our opportunity to do just like Jonathan did. We give up our power, our prestige, our passion, our program, and we knit our soul to Jesus, and we continue to walk in victory and receive the blessings of victory. It's all found in Jesus.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
The Searchlight radio program is available as a podcast. This means that you can download the program to your mobile phone, computer, tablet, or other mobile device and listen to it at your convenience. For complete information, please check out the podcast page on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is an independent ministry that is not financially supported by any church or organization. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.